When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, along with the self-proclaimed YIC, Linnell Willingham, I am merely the rooster, Chris Russell, cock-a-doodle-doo, Matty Ice on the other side of the glass, and you are you. Don't forget, you can again leave a voicemail on the Odyssey app. Just go to the Team 980 on said Odyssey app, and you can leave a voicemail 24/7. Just download it free. If you don't already have it, you should, because you could always listen live, free, on demand, all that good stuff. If you missed Orange Cassidy from AEW yesterday in studio with the DOC and myself, good spot there. Go back and check it out. Joe Paterno's son, will join us 24 hours from right now on the college football playoff, which begins in earnest on Friday night. All right, so I didn't ask you this. I mean, obviously, we're not going to agree on the offense and the defense. How worried are you about the place-kicking situation? Because I sense, as usual, that fans, and maybe my gauge is wrong on you, kind of look at it as still what it's always been looked upon as a non-important position and not something to freak out about. And I am just manically freaking out about how terrible it's been the last few weeks.
I wouldn't say I'm freaking out over it. I mean, it's an issue. They're an issue. There are other issues on the team too. I look at it as one of their issues that they have.
Okay, just one of the issues. Is it any more important than any other in your eyes, or is it less important? Am I barking up the wrong tree?
No, you're pointing out. You know, they have a kicking flaw. They don't have a reliable kicking situation.
What can they do? Is there anything that they can do?
What can they do? You're screwed. You have who you have.
Well, here's my solution.
And it's not even the
kicker. Here's my solution.
But here's the thing that we're not talking about. It's not the kicker.
What?
It's the snaps have been god-awful.
Yeah, two of them have not been good.
No, it's been more than two.
It hasn't been. I don't think it's been more than two. I'm trying to think.
On the 50?
On the 54-yarder the other day, yes. And then there was one other bad one in the Dallas game. I don't think there's been any other bad snaps that I'm remembering I'm forgetting.
There's an issue with the battery is what I would say.
Okay, I mean, you know, Tyler Ott has been a longtime snapper, and he's been pretty good, all things considered. You're going to have, from time to time, just like Tress Way is going to have a bad day or a bad punt or a bad kick or a bad moment or whatever, you're going to have a bad moment or two over the course of a long season. If you mean to tell me that you're more worried about Tyler Ott than Zane Gonzalez or Greg Joseph, then I don't know. We're on completely different sides of the aisle. Because, yes, you should be concerned a little bit about what you've seen out of Tyler Ott. Got it. It rises nowhere near the concern level that we should have over the place kicker. Because you say, well, what can you do? They're screwed. You're right. They're pretty much screwed. You know what you can do? Never, ever, ever put it in the hands of the place kicker unless you have no
That's
choice.
That's not realistic, though, Chris.
It is realistic on a 54-yarder, which you and I ironically agree on. They should have punted that ball and coffin cornered it.
Correct.
Why would you trust Greg Joseph? Why? Ever?
I don't understand.
Why would you trust Zane Gonzalez this week?
I don't understand the decision. You're correct, but like...
Let me ask you this.
They got into that situation because of a sack that Jaden Daniels takes on.
Yeah, which happens.
Second and
not
13.
Good. Yeah, not good. It happens. But let me ask you this.
It starts with the Will Harris TFL on Brian Robinson.
Okay, let me ask you this. This Sunday, okay, say you're in a one-score game either way. You're either up by a score or down by a score. And you're facing 4th-and-3 from the Philadelphia 31. 4th-and-3 from the Philadelphia 31. You're either up by a score or you're down by a score.
From the Philly 31?
From the Philly 31, which would be what? Basically a 48-yard field goal, right?
I'm kicking the 48-yarder.
You're trusting your kicker.
There's a difference between 48 and 54, Chris. If it was a 48-yarder, I wouldn't have had a problem with him kicking it. It's 54.
It's not that he didn't have the length. He was wide right.
To me, it's about distance, though.
No, it's not. It's about accuracy, too.
Dog, it's distance.
I've listened to all these Chris, bird brains go, 55-yarder is automatic. No, it's not.
No, it's not. But it's about distance and accuracy. 48-yarder
yes,
is a lot
accuracy.
More likely. Damn, Chris, a 48-yarder is a lot more likely than a 54-yarder. So, yeah, if it was from 48, I wouldn't have had the same issue.
So you would say there's no denying that a 48-yarder is easier than a 54-yarder.
Well, I hope you wouldn't sit up here and try to say that.
But to say that it doesn't matter, like it's not even a debate.
What do you mean it does? That
there's not even a distinction.
There is a distinction. That's what the hell I'm saying.
Between a 48-yarder and a 54-yarder, you're acting like 48 yards is automatic, and I'm telling you that it's not. Not even close.
Chris,
I mean, these guys can't even kick 35-yard extra points.
How do they measure distance on kicks? Is 50 and below a category, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then. It's below 50. I would have kicked it.
So that's your line of demarcation. You're not worried about accuracy. You're not worried about snap. You're not worried about...
Chris, yes. God! You're like literally like working my nerves with this because I don't know why you're choosing to be so anal. Chris, you understand what I'm saying.
They don't have anybody
Chris,
that you,
you
can trust.
You asked me a question.
Nobody.
Did you or did you not ask me a question?
Yes.
You gave me a scenario and I answered it.
Right.
What are you mad at?
No, you answered it and said, you answered
it
and said
it
you,
would,
you, would,
yes,
you would kick the field goal.
It.
Okay, fine. So what I'm asking you is, okay, that's what you're saying. And I'm telling you, why would you trust that? Why would you believe that a 48-yarder, when you have 4th-and-2, 4th-and-3, let's say from the Philadelphia 31, and you need a score either to put a game away or to get back even, why would you trust Zane Gonzalez? Why?
You just added the context of down and distance, which you didn't give me before. Doesn't that change the answer?
I did. I said 4th-and-3.
No, you didn't. Matt, rewind it. Go back and listen.
I said 4th-and-3 from the 31. You weren't listening.
I did not say 4th-and-3.
Bull crap, I didn't. You weren't listening.
Yeah, whatever.
Because you've made up your mind. You've made up your mind that whatever Linnell thinks is the truth and the end all be all.
Right,
I did give you that context. I gave you that context. I said 4th-and-3. From the 31-yard line, which
Chris,
would make it a 48-yard field goal.
Your point is the kicker is a question spot. Yes, it is. That's,
it's more than a question spot. What I'm telling you is if I'm Dan Quinn, if I'm Larry Izzo, I have zero faith in those guys unless I have no other choice. From the Philadelphia 31, 4th-and-3 from the Philadelphia 31, you're either up by a score or you're down by a score.
From the Philly 31?
From the Philly 31, which would be what? Basically a 48-yard field goal, right?
I guess the context of down and distance matters. If it was 4th-and-3, I'm thinking about it.
Which is why I said 4th-and-3.
Yeah, if it's 4th-and-3, I'd probably go for it.
I mean, I wasn't. See, a lot of people ask cookie cutter questions.
Now I gotta listen to you do your little shtick. I mean,
well, you did call for us to replay the tape.
Yeah, I call for other things, and they don't get honored by you.
I'm just pointing out that there's others on the radio that have literally no ability to take things
people.
To another
You're
layer.
So worried about other people. Stay in your cage.
Wait, I'm so worried about other people?
Yeah, and you are. Y'all, that's why y'all talk about me ad nauseum on Tuesdays for the entire 3-hour block.
No, it's
because you got nothing else better to say.
It's because Doc doesn't have anything better to say.
Yeah, and then you want to throw Doc on the bus.
Doc doesn't want to talk about any of the things that we have to talk about.
Doc doesn't even want to talk to you.
Yeah, trust me, I know. He'd rather talk to you.
He know not to talk to me unless I call for.
Uh-huh. Anyway, rewinding. Fourth and three. Like, here's the deal. You go up 6-0 on the first drive of the game. You score a touchdown. Of course you're going to have to trust the place kicker that he's going to make a 35-yard extra point. I got it. I don't trust him, but of course you have to.
So what, are you just not going to kick field goals, Chris?
Yes, that's the point.
That's not smart.
No, if it makes sense, you're not going to kick field goals.
Chris, you're acting like the field goal, like the problem, I think you're making it a bigger problem than what it actually is.
Tell me how.
They missed one field goal on Sunday.
They missed two. They missed one that didn't count. I'm just telling you.
This is why we need a camera. Because you make me want to, you honestly make me want to come across there and choke you. Because why in the hell do you get to do this ignorant crap that you do? You sat there and told me, you are what your record is. If you're 9-5, you're above average. But you're the same dude. They don't have a missed field goal in the books, and now it's a missed field goal. They missed two. You are full of crap.
Did you not see?
You are full of nothing but bad takes and diet soda.
Not to be that person. It's not pronounced ignorant. It's pronounced accurate.
Ooh, wow.
Forgot it's a Wednesday. It's the law firm of Essig and Russell.
Matty Ice, just hammering you.
That was good. You got to admit.
No, it wasn't. That's ridiculous.
Whether it's two or listen, whether it's two or it's one.
The reason
why I'm bringing this up, okay, it is important. What I'm asking,
you can bring up stuff without doing the whole. You acting like me.
the youngest in charge of what? Anyway, the reason why I'm bringing this up is I think we are going to get if people think Dan Quinn was aggressive fourth and one from his own 45-yard line the other day on that final drive where they ultimately were trying to set up the Greg Joseph field goal to make it 10 points, right? Remember when he went for it on fourth and one?
I liked that decision.
Okay, but that was aggressive. Would you agree, yes or not, would you say that's aggressive? Fourth and one on your own 45. It's aggressive.
It's who they've been all year.
It's who they've been on fourth and one. You're not paying attention to the context. From your own 45 is different than doing it at the Philadelphia or New Orleans 10. There's differences.
They've gone for it from their own territory before this year, Chris.
Yes, like once. They haven't gone for it in a money situation like that. Fourth and one on your own 45 with the game basically in the balance.
I like the decision, Chris. What else was he supposed to do?
Okay.
There? Punt it?
Yes, he could have.
No, he could have.
Instead, he chose to go for it. What I'm saying is you're going to see more of a Dan Campbell approach, more of a Jeff Munkin from Army approach than you have seen even out of Dan Quinn already. So far, the Commanders... on the year, let me get this, in terms of fourth down percentage, 87.5%. They are well above the league average. If you mean to tell me, here's the setup. Basically, what I'm saying is anything fourth and five or less on plus territory, I think they're going for it. Anywhere at the 15, at the 18, at the 25, what have you.
Chris,
that's
not the case, and that shouldn't be the case. If they got it on fourth and five from the Philadelphia 20-yard line and they go for it, I would be kind of upset depending on the rest of the context of the game. Kick the damn field goal. What are you talking about?
What do you do when the guy misses the field goal?
If he's missing a field goal from that distance, you probably signed the wrong guy.
What other choice do you have at this point? It's not like these guys grow on trees.
I'm not going out and not kicking. That's how you take a kicker's confidence away. Y'all want to talk about building trust and all that.
How about you building up confidence by making kicks?
So you got to give him the opportunity to make the kick.
They haven't given guys opportunities?
Chris, they gave him bad opportunities. That 54-yarder was a bad opportunity, and ultimately it ends up doing more negative to the kicker than if you would have just told him to stay his ass on the sideline.
Let me ask you this.
Because he missed, Chris. That's why it was detrimental to him. But you put him in a tough kicking
situation. Why was it a bad opportunity before he actually kicked? A 54-yarder is pretty standard.
Dude, a 54-yarder when you've given up three straight scoring possessions
is pretty standard.
It changes the context, Chris.
It does.
Okay, so that's why they shouldn't have trotted him out there.
But that has nothing to do with the kicker's confidence.
Dog, exactly. You trotting him out there and missing it
that probably shook the kicker's confidence, because look at what ends up happening. The kicker now feels like, oh, crap, if I would have just hit the field goal, it wouldn't have mattered
right,
if the defense.
But when you made the decision, his.
To finish my point.
Go ahead.
You allowed the kicker. I'm saying not trotting him out there on 4th and 5 from the Philly 20 is a complete slap in the face confidence wise. Basically saying, I think you suck. Not trotting him out for a 50.
And you know what?
If
let me finish.
Not trotting him out for a 54-yard field goal does not hurt his confidence at all. You're talking about going for it on 4th and 5 no matter what. That's stupid, Chris. That don't make sense. If it's 4th and 5 from the Philly 18 and you don't kick, what the hell are you saying about your kicker?
They suck. That's what you're saying.
But you don't know that your kicker doesn't
suck.
That's
the truth.
Your kicker doesn't suck.
That's the reality. He does.
How does
they
he
do.
Suck? He missed a 54-yarder. That doesn't mean he sucks,
they
Chris.
They all suck. Zane Gonzalez missed kicks left and right.
He's doing a bit.
Zane Gonzalez missed kicks left and right the last time we saw him. Did he not?
No, Chris.
Yes.
Against who?
Against Dallas.
That was Zane?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He doesn't suck, though, Chris. You can't just give up on the damn kicker, man. That was outlandish for you to say that. 4th and 5, no matter what, you're going for
it. I'm trying to create a scenario in the mind that certainly can come up, that is reasonable.
There's no way that they're going to be 4th and 5 from the Philly 20 and not kick.
4th and 5 might be a little rich.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Chris, it's 4th and 5.
All right, let me lower the trajectory. 4th and 4 from the Philly 20. Hello?
Yes?
4th and 4 from the Philly 20.
I'm kicking the field goal.
4th and 3 from the Philly 20.
Probably kicking the field goal, maybe.
4th and 2 from the Philly 20.
I'd maybe go for it. A yard matters, bro.
So basically your imaginary line is basically 4th and 2 or under.
But I don't go
in terms of going.
I'm not like zero context Quinn that allows the number and the line to go to determine everything. It's about context. That's what I went off about on Sunday night. If it was not, I don't care that your line was a 54-yard field goal.
All right, I'm going to turn it around and ask you, how is it about context when it comes to the field goal and not kicking or kicking, but there's no context to the 9-5 record?
There is context to the 9-5 record. You just didn't like the context I gave you. Context of the 9-5 record is they don't have a win against a winning opponent. That's the context. And they almost lost two of those games, should have lost two of those games. The probability was way against them.
And they should have beaten Pittsburgh.
I don't know how you can say that.
They lost by 1, and they dropped 17 passes in that game. Not 17, but 7.
Eh?
Yeah?
That means they should have won? That means they didn't execute.
Yeah, they should have won. They should have won. I don't know what your definition of should have, could have is. Oof. That's my definition.
We're a little behind on the clock. Go to break before Matt kicks your ass.
Let's do that. It's always fun to do radio with Liddell, who, if you disagree with him, you just get shut down and you get yelled at. And then you see why we have some of the issues that we have around here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Chris, if you...
All right, we have not even really gotten to this just yet, and I can't believe it's taken us 2 hours and 20 minutes to do so. I'm tired of arguing about the Commanders with you. We're not on the same page. we'll just have to wait and see what happens this Sunday. I think they got a decent chance of beating the Philadelphia Eagles. I think you're even further down the totem pole than you were last week.
70-30.
Okay.
I'm still at 70-30.
I would probably have lowered the trajectory. I'd probably say like 55-45 in favor of the Eagles, but I would.
You gave them a 50-50 chance
last week.
You sound crazy, Chris.
Yeah, I sound crazy. Okay. We'll see. We'll see what happens on Sunday. We can debate that more tomorrow. Kirk Cousins was benched in Atlanta last night.
Yeah, and I can't wait for this.
So this is really disappointing for me. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Kirk Cousins. I covered him from the day he walked in the building. I know him pretty well. I don't talk to him on a regular basis because I don't bother guys during the year. I'll talk to him more during the offseason. I know he's very frustrated. I'm sure he's very frustrated with himself. You know,
Chris standing here.
Exactly. Thank you, Kirky.
Kirky.
That's what his friends call him. I'm a personal friend. Kirky. Anyway.
I got to listen to you fawning over, you kissing the ass of a mediocre quarterback.
Sure.
There goes a real quarterback.
Anyway, let me proceed. Kirk Cousins was not playing well. The last five games were a disaster. I think we all know that. We don't have to play the hits and broken record. I think we can all acknowledge one touchdown, nine interceptions is absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah.
I might surprise you. This might surprise you. I think based on performance alone, Kirk Cousins deserved to get benched.
That doesn't surprise me. I don't think you're completely off.
No, for me saying that.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't surprise me, because if you would have said anything else, I would have said you are a complete lunatic.
Right, which is your problem. If anybody disagrees with you,
because
you think
there are certain things. People got to stop fanboying over stuff. That's not about you disagreeing with me. There's nothing you could have watched over the past 5 weeks to say he should remain the starter. He's actively hurting the team.
Again, on the field, I agree that he should have been benched.
Exactly.
The problem is, there's so many other issues and problems.
Dude, he is the number one issue on their offense. They can't call the entirety of their playbook because he is physically limited.
He is the problem right now in Atlanta.
Not they're the second not biggest you, problem. Not the third biggest problem. Okay. Kirk Cousins is the number one issue with the Atlanta Falcons. The number one issue.
I would agree over the last 5 weeks, yes, he is.
And before that, they weren't really having issues because guess what? They were 5-2, Chris.
I mean, he was playing well. Yeah. I mean, outside of the week one loss against Atlanta, I mean, against Pittsburgh, where he was brutal. I mean,
it was a tough defense.
He was pretty good,
though, man. That's week
one. So here's the point, and here's where I'm getting at. Of course, the most important spot or the most important criteria is what happens on the field. But when you have the absolute albatross of a situation that they have now on their hands, do you think they owed it a little bit more to Kirk and the decision that they made before they drafted Penix and to the organization in a hard salary cap league with all of the questions that are now here and are to come to be more patient with Kirk Cousins?
No.
At all? You don't think there was like a get-right game maybe against the Giants or anything like that?
Well, see, Chris, the beautiful thing about Atlanta and the way that their schedule felt, they had their get right game. It was against the Saints.
Las Vegas, yeah.
It was against the Saints. Well, they should have got right against the Saints. They theoretically should have gotten right against
the Saints
Denver.
Are better than you're giving them credit for.
They should have got right against Denver if they're the team that they thought they were going to
Denver's
be.
Denver's a good defense.
They got boat raced.
Yeah. Denver's a good defense. Really good defense.
But they still like that. It's not like the opponent was causing Atlanta to play poorly. It was Atlanta's offense just stinks because the opponent was an inferior opponent on Monday night, and they still proceeded to stink.
Yeah.
Their offense
played pretty well in Minnesota against his former Vikings team. Played pretty good.
What?
Made a couple of mistakes. Threw for 350 yards.
I don't care. He turned the ball over three times, Chris.
Twice.
Sorry.
Two interceptions.
You know what's crazy, though? If Kirk Cousins was a starter against us on Sunday night, maybe that would have been his get-right game.
So you had that little confidence in the Commanders' defense that you're actually going to say that would have been his get-right game?
Yeah.
Okay. So Marshawn Lattimore being added to the fold doesn't mean anything?
Well, Marshawn
Maybe
Lattimore,
Jonathan Allen coming back doesn't mean anything.
Marshawn Lattimore being added to the fold, we saw Kendre Miller do whatever he wanted.
On like two drives.
Chris, he had 9 carries the entire afternoon. He averaged 45. He had 45 yards.
Yeah.
You know what
on like two drives.
Is? That's 5 yards a carry, Chris.
Yeah, I can do math. I went to school.
Yeah. So including a 17-yard run.
Yeah. Which means that not every one of his runs were great.
Chris, if you take away his 17-yard run, it's 8 carries
for 32 yards?
It's still 4 yards a pop, Chris.
Fine. Gonna happen.
No.
What's the league? You don't think so? What's the league? What's the league average?
I don't care about the league average.
Oh, I see.
I can care less.
I see.
They have a clear, glaring issue.
I see.
And it's stopping the run. And it's their defense. Their defense is a problem spot.
Nobody would disagree that it's a concern.
I have a real hard time thinking. It's going to be tough for me to pick them against Atlanta because they're not going to be like. How do I have? Where do I get the confidence?
So you think they're going to get carved up by Penix?
It's not even about getting carved up. Will they be able to score more points than the Falcons? I don't know. I really have a question about whether or not they'll beat Atlanta. I do. It's because of Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. Right. They got real backs.
Right. You're worried about their defense. You don't think they're going to be able to stop Penix and the Falcons' offense.
I am concerned about our defense against Atlanta, yes.
Okay. That's fair.
And it's not like – and I'm not trying to be negative.
Again,
that's just my thoughts.
I would say this. On the field, Penix deserves to play. The reason why I would not have done what the Atlanta Falcons did is because of the absolute mess that they now have.
You're scared.
You're
scared.
No. If they can't trade Kirk Cousins in this offseason and they wind up cutting him, they paid him $92 million for one season. And they have like a $60 million dead cap hit that they have to absorb over 2 years.
So I sent myself the cap details on the Kirk Cousins thing. They're able to get out of it. It's not a bad contract.
Oh, my God.
They're going to be able to get out of it.
All right. That'll end that portion of the show.
They'll have to eat money, but this is what happens when you got a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract. They're going to have to eat cash, yes, but it's not something that's going to stop them from making moves.
That'll end this portion of the show. Coming up next, cleanup on aisle 3, NBA Cup. Was anybody paying attention? We'll ask Nell that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, speaking of another messy quarterback situation, Dorian Thompson-Robinson of the Cleveland Browns is going to be the new starting quarterback for the Browns in their final 3 regular season games this year, and he sees it as an opportunity to be the starter next year, with Deshaun Watson presumably coming off of a blown Achilles and being somewhat healthy, although we see with Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers how long it might take. Thompson Robinson, a 5th-round pick last year, set to make his 4th career start this Sunday. The Commanders on the practice field today as they tune up for the Philadelphia Eagles, who have won 10 in a row. Some good news, Tyler Biadasz was able to participate early on. Jeremy Chinn was working on the side field after initially participating in individual drills. And how about this? Jonathan Allen, thought to be lost for the season with a torn bicep from the Baltimore loss, had his 21-day practice window opened and was participating in individual drills for the Commanders today in Ashburn. Meanwhile, the Capitals have now lost 2 in a row on the road. They're off until Friday night against the Carolina Hurricanes at Capital One Arena. And tonight, you have a little local hoop action. You have Virginia against number 21 Memphis, who comes in at 8-2 to Charlottesville. And that's what's trending. Yeah, I forgot to mention Georgetown basketball begins at 6:15 tonight. Right after Craig Hoffman, who has a shortened show, 4 to 6:15 against Creighton at Capital One Arena. The legendary Rich Votkin on the call. 6:15 for the pregame coverage. Georgetown and Creighton. I mentioned the Virginia-Memphis game. That's down in Charlottesville. Last night I watched a little George Mason Duke. Mason hung in there for a little bit. Just too many moments and minutes and stretches, quite honestly, where they just could not score at all. Watched a little Maryland-St. Francis. There wasn't a lot. Watch the Capitals throw up all over themselves in the 3rd period at the United Center against the Chicago Blackhawks. Wasn't a lot of good stuff on TV last night, so I did some tape work, and I'm still way, 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 way behind. But it's always interesting when you go back and watch stuff and you see little things that you forgot about, little things that show up when you can slow it down a little bit. And there was a lot to like and a lot not to like about the Commanders' performance. We'll talk certainly more about that tomorrow. But first, we have to mention what happened during the break. So,
I want to talk about this.
Ryan Clary Casserole came over.
Are you smarter than a Clary?
Yeah. Instead of are you smarter than a fifth grader, are you smarter than a cleric?
We wanted it to be easier for the listeners.
So he came over, and he had done this before. He had taken a chocolate chip cookie from a tub that our friend Heather made yesterday. We talked about this yesterday. She came in. She dropped them off. It's very nice of her. She labeled.
Thank you so much, Miss Heather. Appreciate it a lot.
I love the fact that apparently she made cookies for everyone. But
No. She did not make cookies for everyone. She made cookies for this show.
I was getting there for
JP and
your buddy. You could say his name. And had Danny bring them up.
Yeah,
but apparently there was no cookies for Grant and Danny, which was hilarious.
Well, that was the funny part, yeah.
Anyway, so Clary comes over, and I've noticed him coming over a couple of times taking cookies, right? So he comes over to take a cookie, and I'm like, you know, through the window, and I'm like, looking at him like, what are you doing, man? So you
run out. It's important to note, I can't see this. My angle is completely blocking the cookie thing. Right. So I see you just like flailing, like, what are you doing with the cookies? I had no idea what was going on.
So you jump out of the studio like a lightning bolt. And basically, did you go out there first? I can't remember.
I went to question the witness. I went to question the thieving associate producer of the Double Mint Twins.
All right. So, of the Double Mint. So then Matty Ice goes out there, basically like
I good sack on him.
Who is the linebacker that laid out Trevor Lawrence? Aziz Al-Shaair.
Wow.
Aziz Al-Shaair, and he basically tackles Clary into the desk, and the cookies go flying.
Yeah, I'm not happy.
All not over happy. The floor.
I'm not happy at all. Those cookies, my name is on that box. And
there was at least four cookies left, right?
I hadn't received any.
Now they're all
gone.
Well, the 5 second rule, because Clary just sat there and laughed at it while I went and picked up the cookies.
Yeah. That is true. They're not technically gone. They're back in the tub. And the question now becomes:
this dirty ass fool, you think?
I was
going to
say, should we actually eat them, even though you're claiming some 5 second rule?
I mean, I don't know if I would
stuff like that off the floor. That's y'all culture. I don't do that.
I don't know if I would, especially this building, and especially because that was right where Clary was standing, and you know he walked through some dog poo on the way in.
Yeah.
You know that man doesn't wipe his feet when he walks into a building.
So basically,
he might not even wipe his ass.
So basically, what?
I doubt it.
Basically, what you're saying is
that.
This is all a Ryan Clary production?
I'm saying that Ryan Clary... Yeah, because when I went to tackle, his arm went down and he reached for the box and he pushed it off. Because I feel like I went low, tackled high. There's no reason that it should knock the thing that's behind me into the left.
Sometimes the target moves, Matty.
But yeah, Matt, he moved that way, away. Him? Did I have to?
He was trying to save your chocolate chip cookies.
Do you think Clary would respect anything but some kind of physical altercation?
Well,
he doesn't listen to his parents.
He respects me.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
Why would he respect you and
if
not
I said
us?
Ryan, not don't because Ryan trained me as a producer when I first got here. I have the longest history with him. Well, you do, technically, I guess. But you don't matter. I have the longest history with him of the people who matter. And, you know, I feel like I could have got him to lay off the cookies without tackling him.
I don't think so.
He was only going to take one or two.
Didn't you say that was like his third time over?
I never once mentioned how many times he came.
I love how he says, of the people that matter, and he says, you don't matter, as he looks directly at me. Like, I'm not in control of his ultimate destiny. If I said, that's it, done, extinct.
I don't think the numbers would reflect poorly, and the people wouldn't be happy.
I think we would be just fine.
If you want to piss the people off, I mean, go ahead.
I think we would be just fine.
If you want to lower...
Let's end the show somehow and get this train back on the tracks. Not like it hasn't been wobbling for the last 2.5 hours.
You wobble everywhere.
I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. what we need to touch on, what we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three.
You guys have
All right, before we get to the NBA Cup, which was played in relative anonymity last night, check out this story. We don't do a lot of politics on this show, but when it involves sports, obviously, kind of gets a mention, especially when it's a weird mention. Herschel Walker, remember him?
Yeah, isn't he a Republican?
Yeah. Football legend, was once traded by the Dallas Cowboys in a huge deal that rebuilt their franchise for Jimmy Johnson, so on and so forth. He was named the ambassador to the Bahamas today.
Is he Bahamian?
By President-elect Trump.
Is he Bahamian?
As far as I know, no.
He may be. He's black.
As far as I know, he's not. But even if he is, okay, he was named the Bahamian ambassador because, as Trump described, he's a successful businessman, a philanthropist, and a former Heisman Trophy winner. Now, we all know that sometimes these things are a little bit different. But here's where it gets weird.
He's from Georgia.
He could be of Bahamian descent, though.
Where it gets weird is, of course, he had this great collegiate career playing the USFL, NFL, all that stuff, right? He, of course, has a political connection with Trump. He campaigned for him this year in his reelection. He was a Republican. He ran a race in Georgia, lost all that, right? But where it really gets weird is, you know, again, as the story points out on ESPN and from the Associated Press, that he was taking a public stance for a national ban on abortions, but yet he was facing allegations for claims that he paid for two former girlfriends' abortions. So,
that's so, a damn shame.
Like with everything that happens in the world these days, none of it makes sense. Absolutely none of it makes sense. Now, if he's Bahamian by just by background, I don't know. The story does not point that out. I don't care. But I just read this story and I couldn't help but laugh and think, that's kind of weird, right? But then again, Woody Johnson was like the ambassador to like Ireland or something like that. You know? I mean, I don't know. The world just continues to get weirder and weirder and weirder by the moment. The next story that we have is the NBA Cup was played last night in Las Vegas between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And the Milwaukee Bucks won. Yay! Ooh. The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA Cup champions. Oh, I'm sorry. Emirates NBA Cup champions. Yay!
Good job,
that's awesome. How exciting. 97-81, they punked the Oklahoma City Thunder in a game on a Tuesday night played in Las Vegas. And I ask you this. I know you were working, but I tried to watch it, but it was so uninteresting, so blah, that it did nothing for me. The Bucks pulled away in the third quarter and never really looked back. Did it feel like anything special or important or unique to you?
No.
Not at all?
No.
And no. You're a diehard NBA fan.
No.
Did last year's first NBA Cup,
no,
which was won by the Lakers over Indiana, feel different to you?
No.
Are you into the NBA Cup tournament at all?
No.
Not at all?
No.
You just basically operate and treat it like a regular season.
I mean, that's what it is, isn't it? It's just regular season games.
Yeah. I mean, will this continue?
I doubt it. I don't think they're making money off of it. They would have got better TV ratings if there were more games on last night.
See, that's interesting that you mentioned because it's a Tuesday night. There's not a lot going on.
There's normally a Tuesday.
There was a college
header.
Football bowl game between West Virginia and Memphis.
Damn. Imagine playing your bowl game on a Tuesday.
Yeah, I know. So there wasn't a lot of competition on, right? And yet I don't know what the ratings will say. And again, television ratings are full of crap anyway. But 97-81, that happens in games, what have you. I mean, you know, Milwaukee's kind of a nice little story here. You know, Doc Rivers is finally making it.
The best defensive team in basketball.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, but Doc Rivers is making an imprint now a year or so into his tenure there, right? Giannis, a couple of playoff disappointments and whatnot after winning the championship. He was great, 26-19.
Well, the Bucks are rolling right now.
But I guess what I would ask is this. They were in Las Vegas on a Tuesday night, and the NBA wants this to feel different, right? They have all these stupid courts. How do you get out of this if you're the NBA? If you're thinking that it's not working and it's not really resonating, how do you get out of it other than just dropping it and saying we're not doing it anymore and save face?
You wave the white flag and say, nah, it was good while it lasted.
Okay.
Be honest.
Now, you're changing the All-Star playoff format. Do you like that?
I do. I wish they would make the game go like to 60 instead of 40.
Okay.
I think 40 is a low score.
So you're more into that than the NBA Cup.
I actually really like the All-Star idea.
Okay. But you're down on the NBA Cup and have been, or were you into it at first?
The courts were cool. That was about it.
I think the courts are hideous.
That's because you're old, so.
I think the courts are awful.
You're boring.
It was the worst part of the NBA Cup.
You're boring.
Okay. That's fine. And that, my friends, is Clean Up on Aisle 3. True.
Clean Up on Aisle 3.
I wasn't ready with the audio. My bad.
I was going to say, the one day I don't stomp
busy,
all over her.
He was too busy practicing his tackling techniques.
Coming up next, Dum Dum of the Day.
No way I ruined them damn cookies.
They say Grandma got ran over by a reindeer. Well, Grandpa got run over by a bear. Next. All right, wrapping things up here on a Windbag Wednesday. Thank God my brain hurts. When you have to deal with the things that I have to deal with, my goodness, you all should feel bad for me. All right. I teased Grandma got ran over by a reindeer. You certainly don't want that to happen. You don't want this to happen either.
It's time for Dum Dum of the Day.
Yeah. Headline in the New York Post from Lunenburg County, Virginia. A Virginia man, Grandpa, has died after a bear in a tree shot by one of his hunting partners fell on him. That's right. This happened between Richmond and Danville, Virginia, according to the Department of Wildlife Resources, and it happened about a week ago on December the 9th. The man was out hunting, which, you know, again, everybody does what they want to do and whatever. Okay, it's not for me. I would never do it, but whatever. The hunting group was following the bear as it ran up the tree, according to the wildlife department. As the group retreated from the tree, a hunter shot the bear. Again, the bear had gone up in the tree. The animal shot fell onto Grandpa, who was standing about 10 feet from the bottom of the tree. The man named Lester Harvey, a 58-year-old from Phoenix, Phoenix, I've never heard of this, Virginia, was the man who the bear fell on. They administered first aid. He was rushed to two different hospitals. He succumbed to injuries on Friday. Once again proves, people, you have a father of five, eight grandchildren. He was self-employed. He was an avid, experienced outdoorsman. And he just happened to be in the wrong spot at the wrong time.
That's sad.
From some over-aggressive hunting, as I would call it. And I'm just going to stop it right there because I'm not going to say anything more than what I want to say. But the last place you would ever find this guy, this city slicker, this dude, is out chasing a bear in the woods. I'll just say that. We're not talking about Chicago.
Dum Dum of the Day.
I mean, wow. Dumb Dumb might be harsh, I'm but about to my say, goodness.
Yeah, that was the put on this Dumb Dumb. Man.
Yeah. I mean, here's what I would do. I would run away. Even if I had a rifle. Run away. There's no reason to engage.
I just feel bad. That's tough.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. All right, that's going to do it for us. So much going on in the world, and very little bit of it good. We will try and do better tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Again, Jay Paterno, the son of the legendary Joe Paterno, has a new book out, College Football Expert, and we'll look at the college football playoffs at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Linnell will be back with us, yes, correct?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, look forward to it on a Throwdown Thursday. Thanks to Matty Ice. Thanks to you on the phones. Again, leave a voicemail at the Team 980 on Odyssey. You can do so in between. See you tomorrow at 1. Craig Hoffman next. Adios.